Well, all the kids are released along with the children's church workers. Everybody else, if you could turn to Luke chapter 5, please. Can I get a couple of people to open the windows the rest of the way, please? Thank you. I don't think so. I'm okay. I just see a couple of people over there kind of. Sure. Awesome. Sure. Thanks. Ah. Might take a second to get back there in some of the back rows. So I just want to start out by saying thank you to everybody that worked so hard to make last weekend happen. Everybody that helped do the setup, everybody's doing the serving, everybody doing the cleanup. If I try to name every single person, I'm going to miss people. So I just want to say right off the bat, thank you to everybody that helped make last Sunday happen. It was awesome. Thank you so much. I do want to do a couple of special thanks to Jeanette and Angela Ingalls for all that they did with cooking that meal. They put in more than hours. They put in several days into that, and I just want to say thank you. I want to say special thanks to Paul because he did more than just a few hours. He did several days into getting this building ready and getting it all set. And I want to say thank you to Angela Ehrenhaus and Tammy for all the decorating they did in that room and the entire building to get it ready for Sunday. So thank you. And again, thank you, everybody. I don't want to miss anybody. Thank you, everybody, for all that you did. It was really good. It was amazing, actually. So today I want to talk about, I just want to share a little bit, remind us a little bit what God put on my heart the last few weeks I've been talking about, and then kind of dovetail that with what we heard down at the conference down in Sturgis. So 2 weeks ago, I talked about the Great Commission. And you know, I was deeply disturbed when I read an article that when they polled the American church, and this is just people that, now other people aren't saying that they're Christians, people that say they're Christians, 80% of self-proclaimed Christians don't know what the Great Commission is. And it, honestly, in my thinking, I don't know how those two can go together. That's like saying you're a fish and you don't know how to swim. Right? I mean, I guess there's some fish that don't swim, but I don't know of any. In Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, this is what Jesus said. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Isn't that amazing? These are the 11 that walked with him for 3 years solid, and still some of them still doubted, even at the end. Verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" The Great Commission is to go everywhere and make disciples of everybody, teaching them to do what Jesus said to do. It's as simple as that. The Great Commission, if anybody ever asks you, what's the Great Commission? Well, we have been commissioned by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, you've been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to go and make disciples everywhere you go, to make disciples of everyone you talk to. That's your number one priority. He doesn't say make sure that this fits around your career or college or family stuff or sporting events or hobbies or two jobs or three jobs or nine jobs. He says go make disciples. It's up to us to make everything else fit into that order. Amen? So that's the commission. So how are we supposed to do it? Here's the good news. He told us how we're supposed to do it. Mark 16, I'm just going to read a few verses, 14 through 18. Mark 16, verse 14. Later he appeared to the 11, that's the same 11, as they sat at the table. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. Wow, these are the 11. These aren't the 17 that didn't make the cut of the 11. These are the 11. He rebukes their hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he says to them, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. So as believers, with the commission to go preach the gospel and make disciples, this is what we can expect. In my name, they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Wow. That seems pretty simple, doesn't it? We're supposed to go and make disciples everywhere we go with everybody we run into. And this commissioning, the power of God, we'll see this happen through these signs. So we should expect when we preach the gospel that we can pray for them and some or all of these things are going to happen. The gospel should accompany the power of God. The power of God should accompany the gospel every time. That's how I read it. Did I miss something? Do you think I'm exaggerating anything? What I find amazing, Jesus didn't tell them to go get some doctors to donate their time and have a free clinic day. I don't see Jesus telling them to go and do a food drive and get a bunch of food away. I don't see him saying go have a free movie night. I don't see him saying go and do a trunk or treat night. I don't see any fall festival, VBS, men's retreat, women's retreat, youth retreat, Christmas special, Easter special. I don't see any of that stuff. Except for this is all the stuff that the church does now, so we don't have to try to believe for signs and wonders. We will go to every length so we don't have to exercise our faith. Right? Man, it's pretty quiet in here. Almost all the stuff that the churches do now to bring in the lost, Jesus never told us to do. Almost everything. He said, go and preach the gospel, and signs and wonders will follow. If they're not following, shouldn't we at least be rebuking ourselves for our unbelief and hardness of heart? Because Jesus rebuked the 11. And I don't think any of us would put ourselves on the 11's status, right? I mean, those are the 11 apostles. Whoa. Jesus rebuked them because they didn't believe for great things. I'm just saying, for me, for Mike Young, I want to preach the gospel and I want to take Jesus at his word. I want to see signs and wonders. I want to see the power of God setting people free, making people whole, healing them, their bodies, their relationships, their family. I want to see the power of God right here on earth. I don't want to just use my faith for my salvation and a party in heaven. Amen. The last 2 days, while we're in Sturgis, we've heard that we need to make God and his kingdom the number one priority in our life. We need to get so full of the word of God and so full of his presence that stepping out in faith would become a habit, a lifestyle, not just something that we have to almost, get ourselves stirred up to try to risk sharing Jesus with somebody. You know, if we're in the word, if Jesus is number one in our lives, and I'd bet, I'm not going to do it, but if I said, raise your hands, if Jesus Christ is number one thing in your life, number one person in your life, I bet all of us raise our hands. But then if I start asking other questions like, okay, how much time do you spend alone with Jesus every week? How much time do you spend alone with your wife every week? How much time do you spend alone with your hobbies every week? How much time do you spend at work every week? If we start actually trying to measure our number one, would he be number one in any of these things? And I know most of you have jobs. So right off the bat, you're being paid to give 100% at work for 40 or 50 hours a week. I understand that. I'm not talking about those hours. I'm talking about the other 128 hours a week outside of a 40-hour work week. How much time do we give Jesus? Is the sum total of what you're giving Jesus right here this morning, the hour and a half on a Sunday morning? Because this should be overflow. This is another thing that the church has kind of flipped upside down. We've actually taught over the last 30 or 40 years, we've taught that a good church service should be your relationship with God. So we come in here and we have performance-based worship, we have performance-based preaching, we have performance-based time together, and that's how we show that God's in our life and we love the Lord. And then we leave here, we don't think about it again until we get back. It should be we're so full of God the rest of our lives that just like Andy, he's out in his hot tub, he's thinking about God. God speaks to him, and out of his relationship outside of here, he comes in here, and we got the overflow of his relationship with God. That's how it should be for all of us. Imagine a Sunday morning where all of us have been doing what Andy did this morning. We've been doing it all week. And we get up on Sunday morning, and it's almost like our whole bodies are vibrating. We're so full of God. We come in here, and there's prophetic words, there's miracles, there's signs and wonders, the gift of the Holy Spirit, all of it happening. Whew. Imagine where six or seven people get healed on a Sunday morning. Two or three more get set free, get delivered to demons. Just imagine that. Seriously, imagine that. And then imagine being at work and someone comes in and he's crying or she's crying. You say, well, what's going on? I went to the doctor. They said I got cancer. You know what? You should come to church with me. Last Sunday, two people got healed of cancer. You ought to come in. We'll pray for you. And they come to church and they get healed. That's how I read Jesus said we're supposed to do church and do the gospel. I get born again, I go and make disciples. In that, there's signs and wonders and miracles. This place wouldn't be big enough if there's signs and wonders and miracles on a consistent basis. We wouldn't have to give free food away to get somebody to come in here. We wouldn't have to go and put games out in the parking lot, try to get somebody's interest, and maybe they'll come and bless us with their presence on a Sunday morning if we did everything right. We're representing the King of Kings, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the most awesome thing anywhere. It was life-changing for all of us, right? I'll say it again. The gospel of Jesus Christ was life-changing for all of us, right? Awesome. We need to stay focused on that. The last 2 days, man, we heard it time and time and time and time again. Most of you know Glenn Middleton. He said what his usual message is. Paul Kidd said very similar things to the point where he was even saying, like, are we praying for our kids and our grandkids so as they grow up, college isn't the most important thing or their careers isn't the most important thing? And you could, I can see the look on some face here. It was the same as that crowd took it too, because we want our kids to be successful. And I think a lot of the time, even in the church, we would rather have our kids successful in life, like career and house and money, more than successful in Christianity. If you don't believe me, how much do you pray for your kids and grandkids to be radical for Jesus Christ or to get good grades and get a good job? Which one you pray more for? That will tell you what's most important. Simple as that. So let me ask you this. Are we on fire for God or not? I heard a couple yeses. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. 20 people in the room. 22 people in the room. I think I heard two yeses. Let me just say a couple of things here and see if you guys filter this the same way I filter it. So I just said, are we on fire for God or not?
Yes.
All right. So over the last couple months, I was asking for people to give me testimonies so that they could be shared last Sunday on our 10-year anniversary party. In the last 10 years, what has God done in your life here at this church that we can just brag on God and share? Not counting me and Jeanette, I got two responses. For our whole body, in the last 10 years, what God's done in our lives. Not counting me and Jeanette, two responses. This weekend, we are invited to a church conference at Glenn Middleton's church along with Paul Kidd, who both, incidentally, are world speakers. Our whole church was invited. Again, not counting me and Jeanette, seven people thought that was worth giving a Saturday to. I'm just saying. Are we on fire for God or not? Because sometimes if I'm not careful how I think and what I'm looking at, I can wonder about the impact my life is having. If I just look at numbers, I can get in trouble. I need to be like Jesus and walk by faith and not by sight. It's the same for me, the same for all you guys. Amen? So, after I saw those numbers, and this would be my thought process, just in total vulnerability now. If collectively as a family, being together for 10 years, if, not counting us two, if only two or three of us have something to talk about for the last 10 years, and that's with each other, how in the world do we have anything to talk about out there without that are non-Christians? If we can't brag about God to each other, it's too big of a stretch for me to think if we're not going to brag about God to each other, we sure aren't going to tell nobody out there. Right? That's where my thinking goes. If we can't be interested in being ministered to by anointed world leaders, Glenn and Paul Kidd, if we're not interested enough to give a Saturday for that, how in the world are we ever going to be interested enough in God on our own to carve time out of our lives just to spend time with God? If we're not going to go and do that. That's where my thinking goes. And I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. Honestly, I'm not. I'm not trying to offend anyone this morning. I just want us all to be honest with ourselves. You don't have to justify yourself to me. I have to justify me to me. More than that, I got to justify me to him. And so don't act like when we get done with this, you got to come up and say, well, I have six testimonies. I don't understand this. I was busy yesterday. I had to do this. I did this. I was that. I was sick. I don't need any reasons. I'll bet most or all of you had good reasons for all that. I'm just trying to paint a picture where all of us will literally just go, okay, am I on fire for God or not? I know they think I am, and I got a pretty good track record, but if I'm just honest with me, I don't think I'm on fire anymore. I don't know what happened because Jesus sure ain't my number one anymore. Maybe you'll be like, oh, this is the best I've ever been doing. Somebody drag in a dead body so I can lay hands on it and raise the dead. Maybe that's where you're at. That'd be awesome. But today, this Sunday, let's just be honest with ourselves. Again, you don't have to justify yourself to me or nobody else. Just be honest with yourself. Where are you at? How are you doing with God? I don't want to hurt you or offend you or nothing. I just want us to go, okay, hold on. My clock is ticking. All of our clocks are ticking. Today's another day that turns into another week, that turns into another month, and pretty soon we're into another year. And time's rolling. Are we serving God the way we want to, the way we meant to? Are we intentionally giving God our best? Are we, when it works out and I feel like it, I'll do a good job that day. So this takes me to Luke chapter 5, verse 33. I think you guys are all already there. I really believe that we're in a new season here at church. I really do. And some of the people that are newer here, raise your hand if you've been here less than 6 months. Let's go ahead and raise. See how many people here are new of percentage-wise? Thank you, everybody, for doing that. I mean, because sometimes everybody doesn't know who's new and who's not. New people don't know who's new, right? And so literally about as small as we are, we were a lot smaller. It's okay. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm serving God wholeheartedly with a clean conscience. I think all of you guys are too. When people believe God told them to go to a different church or go do something else, God bless them. God owns us. I don't own nobody. So when our numbers go down, I'm finally at a place in my life that I can say, well, God must have needed them somewhere else. God moved them to do somewhere else. Did I invest the best I could with the time I had with them here? If I can say yes, boom, I'm good. Serve God with all your might wherever you're at. That's what I always tell everybody. Just serve him with the best you got. Having said all that, there was a good year and a half where visitors would not revisit. I don't know if there was something in the air. I don't know what it was. But we'd get visitors, but they didn't come back. They didn't want a second helping. And in the last 6 months, we're growing again. People are staying put. People are making friendships. People are getting connected. People are putting roots down. It's a new season. Are we 1,000 strong? No, we're not. We'll never be 1,000. That God never put that on my heart. I'm believing for a church of about 200, so then we will split off and plant another church in another neighborhood, in the neighborhood, for the neighborhood. So we'll always know each other's names. We know where each other live. We know your kids' names. That's what family is. That there always has to be that component. And we're in a new season. New people are coming, and new people, if you're a little stuck, talk to the new people. Because new people are excited about what's going on here. And it's awesome. And so sometimes when I'm in a group of people and people want to pray for the people that are discouraged and the people that are depressed and people that are this and that, I'm going to come around and I'm going to pray for God to throw gas on people that are on fire. The people that are excited about serving God, give them more, God. Those that already have a portion, give them a double portion, God. Because sometimes people stay depressed as a lifestyle. What? Born-again Christians. And if you need medical help, if you need some counseling, if you need some encouragement, let's do that thing. Come on, let's go. But the goal has to be healing. The goal can't be, I'm just going to stay here stuck, and I don't want to work on this. Because God tells us to go and make disciples everywhere we are. And if I'm not going, I'm disobeying. The first word in the commission is go. And I think we're in a new day here. We're in a new time, a new season, and God is growing us. And my warning or wake-up call to me, to my wife, and to all of us that have been here for 10 years or several years, let's not miss it. Jesus had to rebuke the 11. That's how easy it is to get a hard heart. It's not like you got to be some crackhead or heroin addict to have a hard heart. The 11 disciples had a hard heart and had doubt and unbelief, and Jesus had to rebuke them. So let's just be careful where we're at and what's going on. Are we all in while God does something in our midst? Are we all in? Because I don't want to miss nothing. I want all that God has for me. I want all that God has for you guys too. You guys are so faithful all these years, and now the supernatural is going to start showing up. We got to be eager for it. We can outserve, I think, just about any church on the planet. Pound for pound, person for person, we can outserve almost anybody. You need a room set up? We got that done. 10 minutes flat. You need a takedown cleaned up? 8 minutes flat. We got that thing. You need something out in the parking lot? Got it. Neighborhood? Got it. We can do all that stuff. What about supernatural? Yes, Lord, help us. Yes, Lord, help us. We want more. It's not we're against it. We're for it. Luke 5, verse 33. Then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? And he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new one does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, well, the old is so much better. You know, we're going to have water baptism here in just a couple of weeks. And so when you want to get baptized, I give you this handout, and then you have to fill in the answers. And then you give it back to me so I can check your answers and then talk about any concerns I have. This person aced it. This is awesome. But it just asks simple questions like, who should be baptized? Why be baptized? Well, number one reason why you should be baptized is so that you can do the Great Commission. Sometimes we think the number one reason for me to be water baptized is so that I can have my me day up in the tank and me and Jesus can do the celebration thing, life after death day. You get water baptized as an act of obedience to start a life of obedience so you can go and preach the gospel, make disciples in all places. Come on. If you haven't been water baptized, let me know. We'll get you baptized in a couple weeks from now. Number one reason is so you can go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. What's number two reason to get baptized? To show your faith in Jesus. Mark 8:38 tells us, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sin-filled generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Whew. Man, number one, number two, do the Great Commission and share the gospel with people. If we can't testify to each other about God's goodness in our life, there's no way we're going to go out there and tell a God-hater about God's goodness. We got to start practicing right here, right now. When I ask for testimonies, should be a line. Should be a line right then, 8, 9 people. It's like, sorry, only the first 3 get to share today. Try again next week. That's what it should be. Instead, sometimes I have to stand up here. Any testimonies? Any testimonies? Any testimonies at all? And then somebody will see the pathetic look on my face and they'll jump up and help me out so that I can kind of get out of the pinch point and they'll share a testimony. But if we're really on fire for God, we're excited about God, we're sharing the gospel out there, we're seeing signs and wonders and miracles in our life, people will be getting knocked down out here trying to get in the front 3. So why do you think Jesus told this parable after he made the statement? They go, well, you know, these guys are still fast and doing this stuff. How come your guys don't? Jesus wanted to make sure that they knew this, a dead religion habit has nothing to do with the new gospel. Up until then, they had the temple, they had the animals, they had the head priest, and they had all this ritual. Jesus came to give us something so much different, so much more. It's like this isn't about some kind of a religious habit anymore. It's got nothing to do with that. He says, what this is going to be is like, and he talks about new garments and old garments. Jesus' teaching, the gospel, literally ferments inside us until it kind of blows everything out and changes everything. Because when you first get the gospel, do you remember when you first got saved, wherever that was, whatever you were doing, and you heard the gospel, and you're like, I just want to get saved. I want to repent. I want to get born again. And this, the Spirit comes into you, the Holy Spirit, the revelation of forgiveness and acceptance, adoption, it comes into you, and instantly something's different. Whoa. And then you start reading the Bible, and, oh, so my marriage can be like this? It's fermenting. It's growing. Wow, in my finances, if I do this, it's growing. Oh, in my relationship at work, if I start working like this, how the Bible, I start prospering. I got a raise and I got a promotion. The gospel starts growing and fermenting and expanding in your life until it takes every area. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just some ritual. I'll just fast 3 times a week, and then at church I'll do this other thing, and I'll light some candles. Baloney. It doesn't work on the outside. It's on the inside coming out. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the most amazing thing, and it ain't no patchwork. And this is my warning to all of us that have been here more than 6 months. We can't just not change and think we're going to be part of what's going on. Because the new people are excited, and the new people are believing great things from God. The new people are going to be inviting friends and strangers here. We're going to see new faces and new things. And if we're not careful, we're going to not quite fit anymore. And who are all these new people? And how come they're all over there laughing and everything, and I'm still over here by myself? And it just feels like this patch doesn't fit anymore. What's going on? If we're not careful, if we're not really careful, our hard-hearted, wrong thinking will get us stuck. Now, I didn't have an if in there, did I? You know how I can tell you? All of us, including me, look, all 10 fingers pointing at me. You know how I know for sure those of us who have been here more than 6 months have got wrong thinking? Because we haven't been walking in signs and wonders. Right? Healings and deliverances have not been part of our trademark on a Sunday morning. If Jesus was here, I think he'd rebuke our hard-heartedness. Pointing at me. But I think it goes for all of us. Or else one or two of us would be walking in those signs and wonders. How is it we've been here all these years, thank you, God, for your faithfulness, but when I read the Great Commission and the tools of the Great Commission, I don't remember a lot of that happening here on Sunday morning. So this is our chance. I'm just saying all this. I'm ringing the warning bell so we don't miss it. It's like when they ring the bell at a cruise ship and you have to, everybody make sure you get on or you're going to miss the boat. It's like that's all I'm doing right now. I'm ringing the alarm so we can go, you know what? I believe God is doing a new thing here. Yes, Lord, I want to be part of it. I don't want to just be standing here as that boat goes off into the distance until I'm finally here and I just don't feel comfortable anymore. I think I'll start praying if God wants me to go to a different church. And you know how you can tell someone's there? Because those would be the people that used to sit in the first couple rows, and then a month goes by, and then they're like in the middle rows, and then a month goes by, and they're in the back row, and then they're only here once or twice a month, and then they're here every other month, and you don't see them anymore. Because God told them to go somewhere else. It's like, if God told you to go somewhere else, would you please come up here so I can bless you out of here? God's right. God owns you. He's always right. If God told you to go do something and it doesn't include this church, I will bless you out of here. I will. I couldn't say that 10 or 15 years ago. I can say it now joyfully. Because if I try to keep you here when God's trying to tell you to go somewhere else, I am, as a pastor, encouraging you to be disobedient. Not a good idea for any of us. However, I think if you're here, God's planted you here, and let's get busy together believing God for great things and making Jesus Christ number one in all of our lives. Amen? Mike's going to work on this. Because I don't think Jesus is number 17 in my life or anything like that, but I want to be open. I want to say, Lord, where can I give you some more room? Where can I give you a little bit better? I think I'm giving you my best. How can I improve on it? That's where I'm going to start out. Maybe you guys can do the same. And what I'm going to do now, I just want to give us all a chance to lay hold of this new thing that's happening. You know, I just jotted down some things here that have changed in just the last few months. Life groups are back running and they're back in homes. We have men's meetings, and in just a couple weeks, we're going to have our first women's meeting. A couple weeks, we have a 24-hour prayer meeting. We have a water baptism coming up and a baby dedication. It's been way too long since we had either one of those, water baptism or baby dedication. Both are happening real soon. That's awesome. Yesterday we were in Sturgis. We got prayed for, got touched by God to build his kingdom. This is a new day. This is a new season. And I just want to encourage all of us to lay hold of it, to get a hold of it. So if you want to step into this new kingdom, if you want more from God right now, would you just please stand up right where you're at? If you don't, that's fine. And I'm not judging nobody. I'm judging me. I'm judging me. And I'm encouraging you to judge yourself too. If you would like me to pray for you, I got prayed for by Paul Kidd and Glenn Middleton a couple different times. And I believe in the transference of anointing. The 12 apostles always did it. I see prophets in the Old Testament doing it. Jesus laid hands on the sick and they recovered. There is something supernatural that happens when one regular person in faith prays for another regular person. Something can transfer in that. I believe I got something from these great men of God. If you want me to pray for you and just bless you into this new season, I will do it. So if there's anyone that wants more, just come on up and I'll pray for you. It's not going to be a long prayer. I'm believing in a touch. I'm believing in a touch. Father God, would you please fill Matt up for this new season? Fill him up, Lord, now with fresh fire in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray for Denise right now, and I pray that you would fill her up with a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Fill her up with fresh fire, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that Mike, he's a brother to me, Lord. He's a son to me in some ways. And I just pray right now, Lord, that you would fill him up with fresh fire. He is an evangelist, Lord, and I pray that you would reawaken that gift in him with fresh fire for this season, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for my sister, Cindy. I thank you for her fresh fire she carries with her all the time, Lord. And I just pray for, again, fresh fire right now, this instant, to fill her up to overflowing, Lord. Just a few minutes ago, she was telling me how she's just so full of your joy. Lord, would you just make this her trademark, so to speak? Fill her up with your joy, with fresh fire now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God. Lord, thank you for my brother Paul. I just ask you fresh fire to come upon him right now. In every sense of the word, Lord, I thank you for this man of God that he is. I pray for fresh fire for this season, for this new day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Mary. She's such an example of faithfulness to all of us here, Lord. Would you please fill her up to overflowing now with fresh fire? Kyle, can you help me? Lord, would you please help her? Lord, would you please fill her up now with fresh fire to overflowing, Lord? Fill her up with a fresh touch. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Man. Well, Lord, I thank you for Kyle. Thank you for his faithfulness, oh, Lord. I pray that you fill him up. Fill him up with a fresh touch of your spirit, Lord, for this season, for this day. Fill him to overflowing, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for my sister Natalie. Would you please fill her up, Lord? Again, I thank you for her faithfulness to me for all these years since I was a baby Christian. Her and Orrin have been an example of faithfulness to me. And Lord, I pray that you fill her up with fresh fire now, fresh anointing, a fresh touch from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you pray for Orrin?
Yes. Yep. Well, Lord, I'm laying hands on Natalie. Your word says the two are one. And he had the sniffles and maybe a couple other things, Lord. But I just pray for Orrin right now in Jesus' name for a complete and total healing. Total healing now. Whatever sickness, whatever disease or infirmity is trying to attack him, we just tell you to go in Jesus' name. I speak life and health and total healing over Orrin in the mighty name of Jesus. And now, Lord, I pray for a fresh touch for Orrin, that you would touch him. The next time Natalie touches him, that there would be this transference, Lord, and a fresh filling, a fresh fire, a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for Cassie, Lord. I thank you that she's just recently came back in. And I just appreciate the smile on her face and how she's bringing Sabrina up in church, Lord. And I pray for fresh fire to come upon Cassie now. Fresh fire. A fresh anointing and a fresh touch from you, Holy Spirit, upon Cassie now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for Denise. Thank you, Lord, for all she does around here. Lord, would you please touch her? Fill her up with a fresh fire, a fresh touch from you, Holy Spirit. Would you please fill her up to overflowing now? And right now, Lord, as a family now, we just pray for Denise, and I just come against the spirit of condemnation, the spirit of discouragement that constantly attacks our sister. And I just bind you in Jesus' name, and I command you to go. Get off her in Jesus' name. The joy of the Lord is Denise's portion. And Lord, I just pray that you would overwhelm her with a fresh touch and infilling of your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, thank you for this, my new friend Dennis here. Lord, we got to know him a little bit more just driving back and forth to Sturgis. And I just really appreciate him, and I pray that you'd fill him up, Lord. I agree with him that there's room for more of you. Would you please fill him up to overflowing? Lord, there's a description in your word that says that when God fills something up, he packs it down, stuffs it down to overflowing, running over. And I just pray that you would do that for Dennis now. Overflowing, running over with fresh fire, fresh touch from you, Holy Spirit. Would you do this in Jesus' name? Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for my sister here, Angela. Lord, again, it's just been nice getting to know him better, her and Dennis. I pray for fresh fire to fall on her, Lord. I believe that she is an evangelist. And, Lord, I just pray for fresh fire now to fall upon her, to ignite this gift, to anoint this gift. that she would be very fruitful in your kingdom, bringing many souls to Christ now. Would you please do this, Lord? Fill her up with a fresh touch of fresh fire. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for Tammy. Again, Lord, thank you for her faithfulness to us and her serving this body in so many ways. Would you please fill her up to overflowing with a fresh fire? Fresh touch now, Lord, a fresh anointing, Lord. She's a person that gives at work, gives at home, gives in her family, gives here, gives, give, 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 give. And Lord, I just pray now that you would fill up places that have just been given until it's bone dry now. Would you refill her to overflowing with fresh fire and a fresh touch from you, Holy Spirit? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, thank you for Mary Jo. Thank you so much for what she does here and who she is to all of us, Lord. I pray for fresh fire for her and a fresh touch. Ignite her heart for you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Here's one of these new people that's on fire for you, God. I just pray for fresh fire, Lord. She's already on fire. I pray for more fire, Lord, more fuel for the fire. Would you please fill her to overflowing with your fire and touch her through and through, Lord. Ignite her for you. And, Lord, I do believe that she could be very evangelistic for you as well. And I pray that you would ignite this gift now, Lord, that as she tells people about Jesus, about the love of God, that you would work with her with signs and wonders and miracles, to confirm the gospel and the truth of Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey there, Joel. Well, Lord, I just thank you for my friend Joel, too. Again, I'm just getting to know him a little bit better as time goes on, Lord. And I pray your blessing on him, Lord. I pray, I just thank you so much for this man, for his tender heart. In many ways, I admire the man that he is, Lord, and his tenderness and his kindness, his gentleness. And, Lord, I just pray that you would ignite all this now, and that as Joel is talking to people about Jesus and sharing your love, Lord, I pray for your anointing, a fresh fire and a fresh touch that would accompany signs and wonders and miracles as Joel shares your love with people. Would you please do this, Lord? Fill him up now with fresh fire. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, my friend.
I need help to go forward to talk to people. Mm-hmm. That's
happening. Awesome. Well, Father, I just thank you for sharing. Father, maybe I see her a little different than she sees her, but I see her as an evangelist. And I think the devil wants to shut her down and try to confuse her with questions and thoughts and all this other stuff, Lord. And I just pray for her mind right now. And I plead the blood of Jesus over her mind for clarity, simplicity of the gospel in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for fresh fire now to come upon Sharon, a fresh touch on her in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that according to your word, that there would be signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit accompanying the word when she shares Jesus with people. So she doesn't have to try to convince them. She just delivers a newspaper and you convince them. Would you please give her that confidence in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hello, Ron. Father, I thank you for Ron. I thank you for the fire that he has. I thank you, God, that he's been telling people at work about Jesus, and he just wants to do more of that. So I pray for fresh fire upon Ron right now, a fresh touch from you, God Almighty, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask for an infilling, overflowing of your anointing on Ron now. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for Lee. I thank you for this godly man who's such an example of faithfulness to all of us. Lord, in this day and age we live in, everybody wants to make such a big deal about young people. But God, here's a man who's in his years and is still serving you wholeheartedly every single week. And so, Lord, I bless him right now. I ask that you would fill up Lee to overflowing with fresh fire and a fresh touch. Would you please fill him up to overflowing, Lord? And Father, you said in your word that Moses, when he was 80, he still had the strength of a 20-year-old. And I pray, Lord, that you would just strengthen Lee now. If there's anything wrong inside him physically, would you heal him totally? In Jesus Christ's mighty name. And fill him up with your joy. Fill him up with your presence and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God. Well, thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for my brother-in-law, Brian. He's such a faithful man and such a faithful servant. I pray for you to fill him up now for fresh fire to come. For a fresh touch from you, God, would you please ignite this man? I know he's an evangelist. He loves telling people about Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you would confirm that now. Confirm his gospel with your gospel that always has signs and wonders and miracles. Would you please do this, Father? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God. Well, Father, I thank you for Jake. I thank you that he's got such a great servant's heart. Father, I thank you for how he cares so deeply for people. Lord, would you please fill him up to overflowing now. Fill him up with your presence, fresh fire, a fresh touch, Lord. And I pray that signs and wonders and miracles, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ would accompany the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you look into this whole work situation with Jake and that you would prosper him beyond his wildest dreams. Would you show him there's a God in heaven that's totally in control and bless him, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name, a fresh touch and fresh fire. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, thank you, Lord, for my nephew. Lord, I pray for Kevin right now. He's got a wedding coming up in just a few weeks. And I pray for fresh fire now, for a fresh touch from you, a refilling, maybe even a first filling like he's never experienced in his whole life. May the power of God come upon this young man now that he can be the husband he dreams of being in years to come. He can be the father that he's dreaming of being. And Father, most of all, he can be a God lover, a server of Jesus Christ like he's dreaming of right now. Would you fill him with power, with fresh fire and a fresh touch? Fill him to overflowing, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Lord, for my friend Andy. Father, again, I thank you for this man's faithfulness and service. It's so amazing. I thank you that he heard you this morning, and he was brave enough to come and share it with the rest of us so we can see right in front of our eyes the God who speaks through ordinary people. Lord, would you fill him up to overflowing now? I've seen him change so much in the last 2 or 3 years. Lord, would you fill him to overflowing? The phrase that came to my mind when I said that was, we ain't seen nothing yet. And Lord, I just agree with you right now. For all your purposes and plans for Andy to be the husband, dad, and granddad that you've called him to be the elder here, the shepherd of the flock like you've called him to be, Lord, he carries so much with him now. I pray for super energizing by the power of the Holy Ghost to fill him up with fresh fire, with a fresh touch, with a fresh anointing. For these days, this new season we're in, I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. All right. Well, Father, thank you for Jeanette. Thank you for the joy that this woman brings into my life. Lord, she's helped me every single day that I've been a pastor. She has helped me walk in this position and serve you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you give her the desires of her heart. Father, I pray that you would give her a clear prophetic voice now, that you would ignite her prophetic gifting like it's never been before, Lord. Would you help her to hear you loud and clear, precisely, crystal clear? And I pray that you would fill her up now to overflowing with fresh fire, with a fresh touch from you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Well, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. What a great privilege I have to pray for all these people. Thank you, God. All these people that love you so much, Lord, that have given their hearts and lives to you, that only want more from you, God. And I get to be part of this. And I just want to say thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I know them. I can call them all by name. We got history here, Lord. And all of us together now, Lord, we say yes and amen for this new season. Yes and amen, Lord, for your plans for our lives together. So as a family, we can bring more people into this family. As a family, we can see your love change lives. As a family, we can do what it takes on our part so that we can make a way, make a place for you to do your part. Lord, we want to give you our best. We want to give you our absolute best. And so, Lord, would you please speak to each one of us now, today and this week? Would you help us to make different habits? Would you help us to get closer with you? Would you help us now, Lord, to do things that maybe nobody else will ever see, or never even hear of? But would you help us to start living lives that get us closer to you? So that as we tell people about Jesus Christ, it'll be out of a reality of power and not out of just some theological habit. Lord, this world is messed up around us. All of us know that. We don't want to just be critiquers and complainers. We want to bring the message of life to a hurting and dying world. So as we go out of here today, Lord, all of us have fresh fire today. This is a different day. This is a new day. And Father, we want to see new things in our lives. Would you help us now? We ask this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Well, God bless every single one of you. There's a lot going on this week, so make sure you get a bulletin, put it on your fridge, see what's going on, what day and what time. And again, if you want to get water baptized, could you please give me a call? I'd love to have some more water baptisms coming up. And if you need to have a child dedicated, I know we call it baby dedication, but sometimes life happens, and then by the time you're getting around to dedicating your child, their child, not a baby. So if you have a child dedication, come talk to me. I'd love to do it. These are awesome, exciting days, and I look forward to seeing that testimony line starting up right here, starting next week. Amen? So God bless you. I will see you over in the fellowship room.